In the name of the Father, of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation this morning. It's great to be with you. And as always, especially today, Saturday, as well as the month of October, we'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And we cry out to Mary in that beautiful, beautiful prayer, which is the Hail, Holy Queen. We invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's start off our conversation today by praying to Mary, and praying the prayer that Mary loves most. That prayer that Mary loves most is the Hail Mary. So let's unite ourselves with the angels and saints and honoring Mary, who's also the Queen of Angels and Saints, by praying the Hail Mary. So together we'll pray the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So let's move now into our prayer of invocation to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director happens to be the Holy Spirit. What a blessing to have the Holy Spirit as our spiritual guide. What a blessing. Holy Spirit as our spiritual guide. Let's ask Him to help us out. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our souls. The sweet guest of our souls. He's also known as the Consoler. He's also known as the Counselor. And St. Paul reminds us that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but good news. The Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So as we start off our conversation today, let's invite the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, a lot of joy, an interior fire to burn in our hearts. As we say, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever joyous in His consolation, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint John Leonardi, pray for us. Saint Denis and Companions, pray for us. Saint John Henry Newman, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. So, my friends, what a beautiful day it is. And it's a day in which I would like, starting today, to offer prayers to you. And this is my common custom or habit as we start out our conversation. I'd like to pray for all of you in what is called the Opus Dei. The Opus Dei, that's an organization, but also it means the work of God. The greatest work of God we have here on earth, until we get to heaven, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. Just that you're aware of this, I'm already planning this, and I'll be posting it on my Facebook page as well as my website, that beginning in Advent, during the course of a whole year, I'm going to be giving a talk on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I'll be giving that Friday evening. And I'll be giving two relatively short talks, well, substantial talks, right after the 6 o'clock Mass in the evening. At 7 o'clock, I will give the first talk in English. Then at 7:30, we'll bring in the English, the Hispanics with the English, and we'll have 15 minutes of silent adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Then, from 7:45 to 8:15, I will have another talk, and I'll give that in Spanish. So that's I'm already, it's a heads up for you. We'll be starting the first Friday of Advent, which will be December 3rd. And I'll be giving that talk the whole year. The reason being, my friends, is that there's so much information out there, but there's so much confusion and there's so much ignorance. So much ignorance on especially the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So I'll be explaining the Mass. I'll be giving biblical references, practices. But the heart of my project will be to take the Mass and explain the Mass just one part at a time, so that you who know the Mass will appreciate the Mass all the more. Those who don't know the Mass, they can learn what the Mass is. So I've already written about 20 blog articles, which I'll be giving to you at the end of the talk that you can read during the course of the week. And my intention is that we go from mass confusion to mass comprehension. That we really appreciate the Mass, that we can bring people back to the Mass. We can go deeper into this great gift of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So already I'd like to invite you to become part of that evening conversation I'll be having starting December 3rd. In English, we'll give the talk at 7 o'clock with adoration. You're invited, and invite all of you to invite others to come to this explanation of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So going back to our conversation today, I will be praying for all of you. I'll be placing you on the altar in my masses today. My first intention will be that all of us would seriously pursue our call to holiness. That's right. The universal call to holiness. That's right. All of us are called, my friends, we're all called to heaven. But all of us are called also to become saints. And the way in which we're really going to change this world is when all of us make a firm purpose in our lives to strive on a daily basis to overcome our attachments, to detach ourselves from sin, and give ourselves totally to God. And that's really what sanctity is conforming our will to the will of God. St. Maximilian Kolbe said, holiness depends upon capital W and small w, aligning our will, the small w, with the capital W, with the will of God. That's what Kolbe says about holiness. My second intention, I'd like to pray for your families. I'd like to pray for your children. I'd like to pray for your teenagers. Because now more than ever, our children are exposed to so many dangerous currents in the world. Most especially, they're exposed to very dangerous teachings in the school. Very dangerous teachings in the school. Lately, in some of my conversations, my preachings, as well as conversations with individuals, I've been speaking about the possibility of looking into homeschooling. Because at least up to this point, if you're going to be doing homeschooling, then you can be avoiding these erroneous teachings on human nature, which these children and teenagers are being exposed to, the transgender LGBT agenda, trying to brainwash our children into thinking that their sexual identity is not something biological, but rather it's something that's subjective, that depends upon our own feelings, our own interpretation, our own decision, such that a boy can decide that he can become a girl. A girl can decide she can become a boy. And this is being promoted far and wide in many academic circles. For that reason, I'm promoting the possibility for parents to homeschool your children so that they will not be exposed to this moral rubbish. So that's my intention for all of you parents, that all of you would take seriously the education of your children. Their salvation is what's the most important thing in the world. As Jesus says, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? What would it profit a man? My third intention is that all of us in our Perseverance family would strive to go deeper in our prayer life. Usually I've been giving a little bit of catechesis or suggestions on what we can do to grow in our prayer life. So today, my suggestion for all of us would be this. Not that this is going to be done overnight, but you might go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has four basic pillars. The dogmatic part, which explains the creed. Then you have the sacramental part, channels of grace, Then you have morality, life in Christ, which means following the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, the moral and cardinal virtues. And then the last part of the catechism is on prayer. Strongly recommend that all of us read the Catechism of the Catholic Church on prayer. It's a spiritual masterpiece. It is a spiritual gem, a spiritual masterpiece. A spiritual masterpiece. A spiritual masterpiece, it really is. So, by reading on the Catechism, this will inform our mind and teach us how to pray. And this will motivate us to put this into practice. So those are my prayers for you. Okay, let's move into our conversation and just go through Catholic devotions related to the Gospel today. There are various devotions that we can cultivate in our lives. And that's the riches of Catholicism. The riches of Catholicism is not only do we have the riches of the Word of God that we delve into every day, but we have these devotions. So Sunday is a day in which we honor the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sunday is like a mini Easter. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. It's like a mini Easter. Monday is a day in which we can be praying for the souls in purgatory. As Catholics, we believe our eschatology as Catholics. Eschatology is the theology of the last things. It is we meditate upon the reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. So if we've died in the state of grace but still are in need of purification, then we go to purgatory. So we should pray, offer up sacrifices, alms for the souls in purgatory. Monday might be a day in which we intensify this intention. Tuesday is a day in which we can be honoring the angels. September 29th, we honored three of the archangels, St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael. St. Michael means who is like unto God. Gabriel means power of God. Raphael means medicine of God, or God heals. Then the 2nd of October, we honored our guardian angels. So Tuesday is a day in which we can call to mind the presence of the angels, not only in heaven, but the presence of the angels on earth helping us to avoid sin and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and Mary. Wednesday is a day which we can honor good Saint Joseph. Not forgetting, my friends, that Pope Francis proclaimed this to be a year of Saint Joseph. We started December 8th last year on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. The solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. So this will extend all the way up until December 8th, the end of this year. So we have about another, today is actually the 9th, so we have about another 2 months in which we can fortify our devotion to Saint Joseph. Wednesday could be a day in which you really try to upgrade your devotion to Saint Joseph. Talk to him more. That day you might also pray the litany of Saint Joseph. And if you haven't gone through the process of consecration to Saint Joseph, there's still time. Saint Joseph is the greatest of all saints. If we love St. Joseph, he brings us to Mary, and Mary brings us to Christ. What about Thursday? Thursday is a day in which we should fortify our faith, our love, and devotion for the Eucharist, as well as for the priesthood. The reason behind that is that Thursday happened to be the day in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the Last Supper instituted the Eucharist and he instituted the priesthood at the Last Supper. So fortify your devotion to the Eucharist. Visit the Blessed Sacrament. Praise, love and worship the Blessed Sacrament and the Eucharist. Make a holy hour. But also it's a day in which hopefully you'll be able to go to Mass. If you're not in the habit of going to daily Mass, you have time, find time to go to daily Mass and receive Holy Communion. Nothing greater than that. Friday is a day in which we should try to practice a little bit more penance, give up something, more prayer, more penance, almsgiving. However, that's a day in which we should be aware of how much Christ suffered for us on the cross. So Friday can be like a mini Good Friday. We contemplate Jesus who hung on the cross for us. That's Friday. And we've arrived at Saturday. I'd like to present to you, Saturday is the day in which we want to try to honor Mary. You can see in my studio in the background, right behind me, you see this beautiful image of Our Lady Guadalupe. And you can see also to my right, there is a beautiful image of Our Lady of Fatima. Saturday is Mary's Day. So I'm going to present to you now is one of, it's a very powerful devotion that's becoming more popular in many places, and I'd like to show it to you. I've showed it to you before, but I'll show it to you today. And here we have an image of Mary. It's Mary under the title. You can see, I'll move it a little bit closer. Okay, there we have it. This is under the title of Mary Undoer of Knots. It's a great devotion. So you can see that Mary has like a cord or a rope, and that rope has knots, and Mary is undoing that rope or that knot. So Saturday is a day in which we want to honor Mary in a very, very special way, that Mary will be much more important to us. Always, but especially Saturday, is Mary's day. And it's interesting because this is Mary's day, but also the gospel. The gospel today is just three short verses, rather two short verses, rather. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11, verse 27 to 28. And this is the context. Jesus is very involved in his public life. His public life will last about 3 years, from when he's 30 years of age until he's 33. In his public life, Jesus is carrying out many activities. But I think we can divide these activities into basically three. And they would be, Jesus is engaged in abundant preaching. He's preaching the Word of God. Be converted because the kingdom of God is at hand is one of his basic messages. He's a great preacher, teacher. He's the greatest. Then he's involved also in carrying out miracles. The miracles in the life of our Lord could be divided into various categories. One would be the miracles over nature. An example of that would be when Jesus turns water into wine. He turns water into wine. At the wedding feast of Cana. But then he carried out many other miracles, especially miracles of healing of people that had diseases, infirmities, blind people, the deaf people, the mute, the lepers. These people that had these very painful spiritual illnesses. And these people were brought to Christ and he would heal them. Then the third was the gospel yesterday, is Jesus is in contact with the devil and he's casting out demons. We see his real power over the evil spirit. Sometimes he casts out one demon, sometimes it'd be a whole legion. So there we have Jesus involved in his public life. In the gospel today, we encounter Jesus speaking. He's speaking. He's preaching. And as is often the case, Jesus is surrounded by a lot of people. A crowd of people. So a woman cries out from the crowd, Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breasts at which you nursed. What a praise. Blessed is the womb that carried you. And the breast that nursed you. So this woman is praising Jesus and praising his mother Mary. But Jesus responds in a very interesting way. He says, rather, this is the response of Jesus, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. So this unknown woman that cries out from the crowd, blessed is the womb that carried you and the breast that nursed you. In a certain sense, this woman was already making a prophecy of Mary's canticle of praise. We call that the Magnificat. The Magnificat that we read in Luke chapter 1, the Magnificat is the canticle of praise that Mary said with Saint Elizabeth in the Visitation. Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's looked upon the lowliness of his handmaid. Henceforth, all generations will call me blessed, because the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. So this woman, this anonymous woman in the crowd, is basically announcing what Mary had already said earlier in her Magnificat. It's a good idea if you could maybe learn the Magnificat by heart and pray the Magnificat. As you find in Luke chapter 1. We in the Liturgy of the Hours, we pray the Magnificat every night in evening prayer. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon the lowliness of his handmaid. Henceforth, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. That's Mary's canticle of praise, that we should get in the habit of honoring God, honoring Mary by praying the Magnificat. So how do we interpret this passage? This passage is like a double praise of Mary. It's a double honoring of Mary. Double. In which Jesus is honored by, rather Mary is honored by this anonymous woman, then really what Jesus says is honoring his mother all the more. Let's go through that. So Jesus is in the crowd. He's surrounded by many people. This woman admires him so much. Maybe he's never met Mary. Maybe Mary's even in the crowd. She can't contain herself anymore. She can't contain herself anymore. So she blurts out in a loud way, such that we have it in the Gospel of St. Luke. Says in a loud, clear voice, blessed are you. Blessed is the womb that bore you. Blessed are the breasts that nurse you. That's a real praise. And we say the Hail Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. In a certain sense, this woman was almost praying the Hail Mary. Praising the woman that brought forth Jesus. Now the response of Jesus might be surprising to many. You might think that Jesus would have said, that's very true. My mother indeed is blessed. But what Jesus is doing, he's elevating this woman's comment of praise to a higher level. This woman is elevating Mary and Jesus to on the mere material, natural, human level, which is fine. But Jesus wants to go beyond that. He wants to go beyond that. And his words were, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. What is that? There's a lot in that short verse. Blessed are those who hear the word of God, but also observe it. Let's try to understand that. Mary, she heard the word of God, and she observed it at all times, in all places, in all circumstances. Mary never was deaf to the word of God, shunned the word of God, ignored the word of God, was oblivious to the word of God. Rather, Mary was always attentive to the word of God. Always. And one of the most sublime ways and times in which Mary was attentive to the word of God is in the Annunciation. When God speaks to Mary, in a very clear and powerful way through the Archangel Gabriel. The Archangel Gabriel was sent by God, angel means messenger, to announce to Mary that she would truly be the mother of the incarnate Word. So Mary listened very attentively, says, how can this be since I do not know man? Mary wanted to clarify how this would come about, because when Mary says, how can this happen since I do not know man, is because Mary had made a vow of perpetual virginity. Mary made this vow to God, a promise to God, a serious, solemn promise to God. And she's trying to understand how she could be faithful to this vow of virginity and to be a mother at the same time. The Archangel Gabriel says that this would come about through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. This would come about through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. That's right. And Aramaic would be the Shekinah or Shekinah, the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And Mary gives her consent. And God gives her the sign that her kinswoman is already in her sixth month, because nothing is impossible for God. Then Mary puts into practice the gospel for today, where Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it, put into practice. Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. In that moment, you have the incarnation, the overshadowing of Mary, and Mary conceives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, the gospel today is very appropriate for a Saturday because it's a very short gospel. I have to say, a gem, a spiritual gem, where Jesus is praising God for his mother, who not only conceived him physically, had him in the womb, and also, even more important, would be this, is that Mary observed the Word of God. She listened to the Word of God, and she put the Word of God into practice. Okay, she listened to the Word of God and put the Word of God into practice. So Mary indeed is a great model for us. A great model for us. And I have presented to you today on Saturday, which is Mary's day, among the many Marian devotions, among the many Marian devotions that we have, here we have Mary, undoer of knots. Mary, undoer of knots. Mary, undoer of knots. So you see, Mary is untying a knot here. I remember as a child, whenever I'd have a knot, I had difficulty in untying it, but once I gave that to my mother, with those very dexterous fingers, she'd be able to untie that knot in no time. What would take me maybe a half hour, she could do it maybe in 35 seconds. Women and mothers are very often engaged in untying knots in one way or another. So also is the case with Mary helping us to untie the knots in our lives, the many knots that we have in our lives. And we have a lot of them. A lot of knots that we have in our lives. This is a beautiful statue. So I'd like to tell you a story of how Mary untied the knot in the life of this saint. Invite all of us to go to Mary, undoer of knots, and to bring her knots to bring our knots to Mary. Okay, this happened around the year 1200, around that time. There was a boy who was going to school, and he was really struggling with his studies. He really couldn't seem to learn. So one occasion, he decided that he would just escape from school. That was his decision. Abandon his studies because he couldn't learn. He was convinced. So he's climbing a ladder to get out of the school. And on the very top of the ladder, he encountered this beautiful woman, and it happened to be Mary. And she said, well, where are you going? The name of this child was Albert. She said, I'm leaving school because I can't learn. I have a mental block. I can't learn. I can't learn. So she said to him, well, why didn't you ask me? Why didn't you ask me for the grace to be able to learn? See, can I do that? Of course you can. So the boy said, well, I'll go back. Help me to learn. So he returned to school. He returned to school. What happened? He started to learn. Not only did he learn, but he learned so much that he turned out to be a brilliant, brilliant genius. He decided to dedicate himself to God. So he entered into a religious order that was just founded. Was the Order of Preachers. We also call them the Dominicans. And he became one of the most brilliant teachers in the world. He was given the title the Universal Doctor. And because of that, of this now priest and teacher and preacher, God was saying to us through this man, faith and reason, they don't contradict each other, but they work together. By studying, he becoming expert in biology, in physics, in cosmology, in geography, in ethics, in philosophy, in theology. He was an expert, a real expert in all these different disciplines. But all these disciplines, be it biology or botany, chemistry or physics, all of these led to God. All these natural sciences pointed to a supernatural origin, which is God Himself. Who is the name of this great man? He's a saint now. The name of this great man is Saint Albert the Great. That's right. Saint Albert the Great. And not only was St. Albert the Great now a doctor of the church, he became such a great teacher that in one of his classes, there's a famous incident in one of his classes where he is teaching, and there's a somewhat stout young man who is very quiet. very quiet. And the other students would call this quiet, stout young man, they called him a dumb ox. The Professor Albert, who now we call St. Albert the Great, said, you call him a dumb ox? His bellows will be heard throughout the whole world. His bellows. That's what an ox does. His bellows will be heard throughout the whole world. And that dumb ox, G.K. Chesterton wrote a book on him called The Dumb Ox. That dumb ox, my friends, is St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas. So St. Albert the Great became the teacher to an even greater teacher and preacher and writer. And that is St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas became a student. So I'm purposely giving you this story on this day in which we honor Mary. Saturday is Mary's Day. Because Albert the Great, who became one of the greatest teachers in the world, and had a student that was even greater than him, he had a big knot. He had a big knot. What was that knot? It was an intellectual block. The knot was an intellectual block. An intellectual block, which he couldn't seem to learn. He encounters Mary at the top of the ladder. He's trying to escape from his studies. Where are you going, Albert? I can't learn anything. Ask me. He asked Mary, and Mary was able to remove that mental block, and he became one of the greatest teachers, preachers, writers, intellectuals, theologians in the whole world, pointing out the fact that faith does not contradict reason. John Paul II wrote an encyclical, Fides et Ratio, Faith and Reason. Faith does not contradict reason, but faith transcends reason. I repeat, faith does not contradict reason, but it actually transcends reason. It goes beyond reason. So here we have this statue before your eyes of Mary, undoer of knots. Mary, undoer of knots. We're in the month of October, which is the month of the Holy Rosary. October 7th is the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary. October 13th is the day of Our Lady Fatima, where we have the last miracle of Our Lady Fatima. I am the beginning of a Marian consecration to a parish, St. John the Baptist in Baldwin Park, which I'm preparing a lot of people in that parish to consecrate themselves to Mary through the children of Fatima and through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and through Our Lady Fatima. So today is a very important day in which we honor Mary. We honor Mary. So, my friends, Mary is untying this knot. Mary is undoing that knot. And as she was able to undo the knot of St. Albert the Great. What about you and what about me? We all have knots in our lives. We all have knots in our lives. We do. You might say, what do you mean by having knots in our lives, Father? I don't understand. Well, it's not complicated. A knot in our life means problems. Problems. Who does not have problems in life? We all have problems. It's part of life. But our problem is we don't know what to do with our problems, how to resolve our problems. That's our problem. Is that we do not know how to cope with these problems. In my essential message today, on Saturday, honoring Mary, is we don't want to keep our problems to ourselves. We don't want to do that. But rather we want to give our problems to Mary. We want to give her this rope that has a knot, maybe more than one knot. We want to place it in the hands of Mary. And Mary can undo that knot. She really will. So think about what is your knot today? So let's turn to Mary and ask for her prayers. As this woman prays Mary, and then Jesus praises Mary all the more, saying, blessed are those who hear the word of God and put into practice. Let's pray that we would listen to the word of God like Mary and put into practice. And let's give Mary our knots. Do not forget to give Mary your knots. You like that? Do not forget to give Mary your knots. So I'd like to give you my priestly blessing, and may God bless all of you through the intercession of Mary. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.